Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is All of It. I'm Kusha Navadar, in for Allison Stewart. Hey, thanks for spending part of your Thursday with us. I'm really glad you're here. Coming up on today's show, we're going to speak with the playwright and the director of a new play that takes on the history of how the birth control pill was tested on Puerto Rican women. We'll talk about the Passover Seder with Rabbi Matt Green, and we're going to discuss a Lebanese cookbook that's just been reissued. That's the plan, so let's get this started with some film history. This weekend, there's a BAM film series celebrating the crucial legacy of a New Yorker who was an expert on Black film. Pearl Bowser, who died last year at the age of 92, was a film historian, a curator, author, and director. She was born in Harlem and made it her mission to preserve and share her knowledge about the history of Black cinema, including the work of innovative Black filmmakers in the 1920s, whose work was largely forgotten by Hollywood. Pearl Bowser's collection is now held at the Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History and Culture. She's been called the godmother of Black independent cinema. And tomorrow night, BAM kicks off a 3-day series of screenings from Bowser's archive. The series is called The Boom Is Really an Echo, selections from the Pearl Bowser Media Collection. It's beginning at BAM tomorrow and runs through Sunday. And with me now is Gillian Bowser, co-curator and Pearl's daughter, and Gina Duncan, BAM president. Welcome both.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Happy you're here. The title of this event series is based on an essay Pearl Bowser wrote about the history of Black cinema. And Gina, I'm wondering, what about this article is so important in representing who Pearl was?
Thank you. So I think what's really important about this article is Pearl's ability to connect what was happening in Black film in the 60s and 70s, this this idea of an explosion to the film practices and what was happening with Oscar Micheaux, Paul Robeson in the 1920s. So I think it was important for those Black filmmakers at the time to see themselves on this continuum, as opposed to this idea of an explosion. They were actually a part of a rich history that not everyone was aware of, some of them including.
Mm. And Gillian, your mother was born in Harlem. She was a New Yorker through and through. What can you tell us about the details of her early life as a child and how her upbringing kind of paved the way for her to dedicate her later career to film?
That's a wonderful. Yeah, she grew up in Harlem, but moved to Brooklyn at around age 16. So she spent most of her life in Brooklyn, in Brooklyn Heights, which at that time was a very up and coming neighborhood, so to speak. It had many abandoned buildings and a lot of artists and people moving in there through the Cinderella Project way back when. I think that was the foundation, that there was these activists trying to get education and identities going on in Brooklyn at that time. And with the discovery or the rediscovery of Oscar Micheaux's films, her mission was to show those films to all the public libraries. And when we were very young, I was her projectionist, and we would run around and show films for free so people could see these early Black films. And that was, I think, really the foundation of her starting.
Oh, wow. And so you were working with her from a very young age, it sounds like.
Yeah. I was a projectionist.
Oh, wow. Do you have a sense of when in your mother's life was the moment when she kind of sparked that initial interest in film? Did she just always like going to the movies?
No, she and a good childhood friend, Charlie Hobson, who also grew up nearby and went into films and film production. You know, they were early people emerging in Black cinema and also in Black news. And part of that was getting the voices told from their own communities with their own words. And I think that's really the foundation of getting started in film, is how do you tell your story from your community to your community for your own words? And that's exactly what Oscar Micheaux did in the 20s, made films for Black audiences by Black actors and performers to tell their story from their perspective.
Mm. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Gillian Bowser and Gina Duncan. Gina Duncan, the BAM president, and Gillian Bowser, Pearl Bowser's daughter and co-creator. We're talking about an upcoming film retrospective dedicated to Pearl Bowser, the film historian and curator. It's called The Boom Is Really an Echo, selections from the Pearl Bowser Media Collection. It's happening at BAM tomorrow, and it's running through Sunday. You know, Gina, I'm listening to Gillian talk about her mother's interest in film and how it, you know, the way that it grew. And I'm thinking of you, actually. You've worked in the film industry for years with organizations like BAM and the Sundance Film Festival. What do you remember about when you first became aware of Pearl Bowser? And I'm wondering, is there any part of her interest in film that you see in your own story of becoming passionate in film?
Yeah, I really didn't become aware of Pearl Bowser until I left school and I went into the field, and I was an early programmer myself, just trying to figure out. And I stumbled into programming, I think, for the same motivations that Pearl had and Charlie Hobson had, I had. And as I started to learn about Pearl and her contributions, and then also meet people like Michelle Mater and Mahen Bonetti, I started to find a space for myself. They were also other film scholars, archivists, and just real connectors who felt it was important to make sure that Black audiences were exposed to work that they wouldn't necessarily see otherwise.
Mm. You know, we talk about Pearl being from Harlem, but Gillian, your mother went to Brooklyn College and you were raised in Brooklyn. First, where did you live in the borough?
We lived in on Joralemon Street, actually. That's where she was for 65 years. So for most of that time, we grew up in Brooklyn. I went to High School of Music and Art, the LaGuardia High School of Music or Art, as it's called now. So I think we were always into art, and there was always this big art and film piece moving forward. So I think that was part of the genesis. But also, I think the important thing just to mention is that my mother was also very famous for cooking. Mm. And that's, well, part of the festival is about food and cooking and that identity with Black culture, Black history, and food.
Yeah,
is an amazing part.
Absolutely. And, you know, so much of that is going to be covered at these screening events. The first one is tomorrow at BAM, and it actually features films made by Black filmmakers in Brooklyn throughout the 60s and 70s. And I'd like to focus on that part for a bit. Gina, why was this such a prolific time for Black filmmakers in Brooklyn? And what are some of the films that people can look forward to seeing?
Well, they can look forward to seeing some films from Stan Lathan and Charles Hobson, Timon Leander. And I think it was just a time in which, again, and Gillian touched on this a bit, people were finding community and there were opportunities, especially within third spaces and public media, that we don't really see as much today. So I think that was a big part of it, was finding community and also having access to spaces and distribution that weren't necessarily available before.
Mm. And, you know, I want to touch back on what you were talking about, Gillian, with your mother's relationship with food, which is such an important part of her career and what she made. I know she published a cookbook in 1970. What were the contents of that book? Are there any favorite dishes your mom used to make?
Oh, actually, she cooked. Published two cookbooks, and she was actually a food editor for an early magazine known as Tuesdays that went out of business in, I think, the early 70s, late 60s. So her two books that were published were both on soul food, and the fun title was it was a food that was simple and fancy. So it's not for the faint-hearted. One of my favorite recipes is gingerbread, for making gingerbread houses, that features bacon fat. As a way to make the bread nice, stiff, and very tasty. But there's everything in there in those cookbooks, from, you know, the very famous Brunswick stew, which can feature a squirrel or possum or, you know, the meat of your choice, along with chitlings and black-eyed peas. And, of course, one of the favorites is mac and cheese. And we'll have many of those, not all those, some of the dishes like catfish and black-eyed peas at the festival on Sunday. And I also show these films. They've never been shown before, but one is actually made by Charlie Hobson. So it'll be a nice way to show that history.
Wow. Can you talk a little bit more about how your mom, Pearl, kind of combined this passion for food with this passion for filmmaking?
Great question. Well, we didn't actually know about these early television series that were never aired until very recently when the Smithsonian discovered them in the archives. But when we were growing up, she was this food editor, so she would test all of her food on us and all the neighborhood kids. And we also used to have these huge street fairs, and that's where the community came in, where at the end of the street fair, we would roast a pig in a garbage can with all the neighbors around. And one of the neighbors' daughters, Katie Mertz, is an artist in Brooklyn, and she'll be there illustrating these wonderful recipes with pigs and squirrels and catfish and everything else that were made and celebrate as part of the community. So the whole Willetown community would come together over food. And I think that's what brought it all back together.
And, you know, you mentioned her archive. I'm wondering, could you describe what else, Gillian, exists in your mother's archives? How many items are there in the archive?
Oh, my goodness. There are over 500 films. Wow. And media pieces, from Oscar Micheaux to early videos of famous Brooklyn people like Spike Lee, et cetera. Julie Dash, some of her pieces. So it was, my mother collected things and the story around the film. So whether it was artwork or whether it was writings or posters, all these things were kept together so you could trace the history of that film and its time and place. And that's what made it such an important archive for the Smithsonian. You know, so there's, you know, original artwork in there. There's African clothing that was originally built by another Harlemite, made by another Harlemite called Ashanti Bazaar. So all this was that community that came together to celebrate history and culture. But I think the other sort of piece there is that Brooklyn was really big in the civil rights movement at that time as well. And so a lot of activism in trying to get community voices heard was an important piece. So, and then celebrating that. And if I could add one more quick comment, one film in the archive is actually about Gowanus and the issue of redlining real estate areas. And what's so ironic about that film, it's made by Charlie Hobson, and it actually features my father. But, you know, redlining is now a big issue, especially for that area of Brooklyn. But this was an issue way back when, trying to get the community to tell its story.
Oh, wow.
And protect itself. Yeah. Mm. So it's called Same Old Game.
Same old
It'll
game.
It'll be aired on, it's airing on Friday.
Wonderful. If you're just joining us, you're listening in, this is All of It on WNYC. I'm Kushan Avidar. We're talking about Pearl Bowser. We're joined by Gillian Bowser, Pearl's daughter and co-curator, and Gina Duncan, the BAM president. Gillian, the co-creator of this new upcoming film retrospective dedicated to Pearl Bowser, who is the film historian. And it is called The Boom is Really an Echo, Selections from the Pearl Bowser Media Collection. It's happening at BAM starting tomorrow. It's running through Sunday. We're talking about Pearl Bowser's work, both as a, you know, film historian, film curator, film director, and also as a person in the food world. And we, you know, have mentioned a couple times this other person, Oscar Micheaux, and I'd love to get into him. Gina, what was Oscar most known for when it comes to his contribution to Black cinema? And how did Pearl go about preserving his work?
I think one of the things that has always motivated me about Oscar, I've always admired about Oscar Micheaux, and what I often tell to a lot of young filmmakers, was his understanding that if these films were going to be presented to the audiences he was making them for, he needed to go out and do that himself. So he was very much an entrepreneurial, one of the early self distributors, and it was a necessity to make sure that the films as intended were put in front of the audience as he intended them for. And for Pearl, I think Pearl did it you know, for a lot of Black filmmakers and artists, our histories are often erased. And so Pearl, as a collector and an archivist herself, really brought him into this modern era by essentially doing the same, taking those films around to spaces and presenting them to communities who were inspired by and needed to see that work.
Gillian, do you remember your mom ever doing that, as Gina's describing, bringing Oscar Michaud's work and showing it? Did you ever project his movie?
Oh, yeah, we projected his movies or restored copies of his movies on the projector at the public libraries. But I think one of the most powerful pieces is actually now on display at the Smithsonian, which is a film called Within Our Gates. And what makes it powerful, it's the story of lynching and the Ku Klux Klan from the Black perspective. And it sits right next to another film that celebrates the Ku Klux Klan. And the beauty of that is to show that the Black community was experiencing these horrors, but also actively trying to do things and actively trying to get justice and not, a passive observer of what was going on. So to see that was really powerful. Mm. And another sort of wonderful thing is that his films were also shot in South Dakota. Many of them were shot in South Dakota, in Gregory, South Dakota. And they depicted people, Black people on horses, Black people as homesteaders, which is true. That the town of Nicodemus is one of the oldest Black settlements in the West. And it was important for people to see that Black cowboys were out there very, very early, and Black townships existed, and there were people and vibrant communities in the 1800s that were all Black. And he celebrated that. He tried to bring that back, and she brought that back for us to all see. I remember growing up thinking, well, Black cowboys, yeah, they existed, because we saw all these films with Black cowboys in them. And wow, that was a really important piece.
In South Dakota, you said, is that right? Did I hear that right?
Correct. Yeah. Here's Oscar Michaud, homesteaded in Gregory, South Dakota, in a sod home. And many of his films were shot on site, so it was easier for them to bring people in and shoot the film on quote-unquote sets out in the wilderness. The home, I don't think, is still standing. It was for quite some time, but it's an amazing piece of legacy of the early Black fur trappers, the early Black communities to the west of the Mississippi that were established for a long time. So it's really fun to look at that.
And I understand that on top of watching films that are in Pearl's archive, there's also going to be a screening of a movie that Pearl actually directed called The Guest. Gillian, can you tell us what the film is about and how you would describe your mother's style or vision as a director?
Wow, that was such an early film. That's probably not the best example. She made this film as she got started with Third World's Newsreel, and they will be at I think it's this Saturday. JT is going to come and talk as well through that early period of trying to tell stories in different ways. And the whole purpose behind The Guest, very similar to Oscar Michaud, is to explore interracial relationships, which Oscar Michaud did a lot of. And these are just short films. I think the honest is that the experience of making a short film was more important than the film itself, because then she could see from the projector's point of view, from the producer's point of view, when she went on to work on other bigger pieces, Namibia Now, that was co-produced with Christine Troy and others. So all of these are, ways to see from both sides of the lens, how to be that filmmaker, but how to also help direct the story. Mm. And her passion was telling the story. So her first company was Shamba Educational Film Services, and that was the goal, to educate the Black community about these films.
After the screening each weekend, there's also going to be panels, right? And then on Sunday, there's also going to be a reception. Gina, I'm wondering if you could talk a little more about that. What can people coming to BAM expect from the panels, and can you tell us a little bit more about Sunday's festivities?
Sure. So the panels throughout the weekend, we'll hear from folks who've been influenced by Pearl's work or had contributed. On Sunday, I know Gillian and I are really excited about the food truck that's coming. I think that, oftentimes, especially for institutions like BAM, people tend to think about them as spaces, like austere spaces, in which it's just about seeing the work and appreciating the art. And that is always important. But the community element, which keeps coming up a lot here in this conversation, is also equally important. And it's great. You know, you go to see a film, you want to come out and talk with folks about what you just saw and meet those people. Mm-hmm. And so we will have a food truck. We'll have the chop shop that will be outside. And Gillian, do you want to add any more?
Oh, definitely. So we're also going to be giving away soul food recipes that will be illustrated by Katie Merz, who's another local artist, and as I said before, one person I grew up with. And we're celebrating things like the pigs in the can, because that was an important part of that sense of community, everyone gathering around a meal at the end of the day. So we'll be giving out recipes and, you know, just trying to get people to think about soul food, the depth of soul food. Her first cookbook, which was actually co-published with Joan Eckstein, so it's actually published under Joan Bowser way back when, by Tuesday Publications. What they did was sort of celebrate all the food that they could get locally, but also the Black heritage. Mm. And so the community would get this food every year at the Willowtown Fair. And so I think it's just such an important bringing it back home to the importance of community and having some art there, and it's going to be really fun. So we're really excited about that. We'll be giving away recipes, and we have, yeah, just to have it fun so people think about soul food. And that it's like the Boom is really an echo. We hear now with the chef people say, oh, yeah, soul food is rediscovered or newly discovered. But, you know, she was cooking soul food in the 60s and 50s and writing about it and filming it.
Right. And it's wonderful to be able to celebrate that alongside her films. And, you know, Gina, I'm wondering, in terms of her films, kind of looking forward by looking backward, is it possible, you think, to see the legacy of Pearl Bowser in the work of Black filmmakers today in any way?
Absolutely. I mentioned some curators that I have been inspired by that I think are a continuation of Pearl's legacy. And I think one of the panels that we have this weekend, Melissa Lide, who has Alfreda Cinema, who's doing similar work in terms of connecting Brooklyn art audiences and really audiences across New York City with contemporary Black filmmakers who they may not be aware of and also past. I think for myself, including when I first came to BAM in 2017 to run the film program, that was during the time when the Oscar So White conversation was really prominent. And one of the things I saw in terms of BAM having both a first run film program and a repertory film program was the opportunity for that juxtaposition of the past and the new. And when we decided at that time to really have our repertory film program focus on the work of filmmakers who are often left out of the history of film, we started to develop a following that then was asking questions around, like, okay, well, if Black people, women, in Native Americans, et cetera, have been making films and been a part of this history since the very beginning, why are they not here now? What's happening? How come people are falling out? And over time, what we've also noticed now is that those folks who who were coming to the repertory program and still coming are now showing up in droves for new films from BIPOC filmmakers and women filmmakers. And that has allowed us, BAM, to actually distinguish itself in New York City as being one of the art houses that can bring big audiences for new films from those people.
Oh, wow. So it's a wonderful legacy to leave and to see. And, you know, Gillian, as we're wrapping up, I would just love to know, you know, you talk about bringing it home. Were family movie nights a big thing at your house? Or was there a movie you and your mom loved to watch together?
That's a great question. You know, because again, I was a projectionist. Actually, one of our greatest funs when the films were first found and brought out and we would show them upstairs in our house with the old cartoons, and some of them survived and some of them didn't, but these were cartoons that in today's world would probably be seen as quite offensive, but I think it was important for us to see that. And I think my mom wanted us to see these images next to films of cowboys, you know, conquering and succeeding, and they were all Black. And so it was very, I actually now live in the West. I live in Colorado. And people will still say, oh, well, Black people were never cowboys. I was like, oh, my God, there was this long, very rich history of Black cowboys and Black pioneers and all these people who broke ceilings. So I think it was so important for us growing up that we saw ourselves and we saw our people in all these images. And I just wanted to do a quick shout out. You know, the Real Sisters is a group that was established to help women, particularly Black women and others in film. And, you know, they hosted a little memorial, and it was so powerful to hear young women who never met my mother say how much it was inspiring to hear that there were people pushing for tell your own story with your own lens to your people. And not to a publisher or a big producer, and that they were people who would distribute and help that voice get out. It was all about that voice, and that's what she was really powerful for.
It's an important
lesson.
She's
also a very good cook,
and a very good cook. And you know, if you want to experience the vast spectrum and work of Pearl Bowser, you can check out the Boom Is Really an Echo selections from the Pearl Bowser Media Collection. It's happening at BAM starting tomorrow and running through Sunday. We've been talking to Gillian Bowser, who is Pearl's Bowser's daughter and co-creator, and Gina Duncan, the BAM president. Thank you both so much for coming on and telling us about this.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having me.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at zbiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's zbiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.